Blog Talk Radio.
Anton Bruckner, one of the greatest Austrian music composers. He was an organist. He never married. He didn't write any operas. He wrote masses, and he wrote 9 great symphonies, one of the great symphonists of all time. One of the great architects, Daniel Burnham, born today. A black famous author. He wrote Native Son, Richard Wright. Henry Ford II. Remember him in the Mustang? Also, on this day, as part of the events, the Edsel was debuted by the Ford Motor Company under Henry Ford II, and it was a disaster at first, but then it's a classic car today. Do you remember Paul Harvey, the commentator, political commentator, with the most, he had an unusual delivery? Unfortunately, we went through our archives, we couldn't find the tape that we have in the archives. And among the deaths today... Well, let's get back to what's been going on. Since this is of national importance, international importance, this Syrian business, is it a false flag? Is this reminiscent of the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which had its origin in the Vietnam War, in which the USS Maddox was a destroyer off in the Gulf of Tonkin? And to keep the war going, the propagandists in the Lyndon Baines Johnson administration claimed that the Maddox was fired upon by Vietnamese gunboats. It didn't happen. Anyway, they got Congress to pass the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, and this just ratcheted up the Vietnam War, and this Syrian business began to look like that, using a pretense to start a war, which is what happened in 1939 with the Nazis, and this claim of a radio raid by the Polish soldiers on a German radio station on the German-Poland or Polish border, and whole thing was a fraud. But that was Hitler's pretense to invade Poland. Are we seeing a replay of this, and are these senators and these Congress people who vote for this thing, are they ignorant of history, or are they ignoring history? And this is going to come back to haunt them if this Syrian business is a false flag, which a growing number of both conservatives and liberals think that it is. And so I did promise to replay Jim, who is a descendant of one of the great American union leaders, one of the founders of the American labor movement. And here is his interview. And he works for a non-union company. And we can't use his name. That was the agreement. Among your aunt's international company, that's it's non-union. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, how do they? Have you ever discussed your feelings or your views with your fellow workers? Or how do they feel? Do you ever pick up anything? Do they feel that they're being treated fairly? You're getting health care and benefits, and I don't know if you get discounts on the products. But how do you feel about the workplace working in a non-union environment?
Well, the way that I think across the board that lots of companies that are, you know, that are like operated, they're known, they're big, all of their companies are, say, like, you know, statewide, you know, statewide, but their, you know, the owners are overseas or whatever, even, or what, you know, whatever the case like might be. The whole thing is that everybody's like trying to like cover, is just trying to like, you know, cover their butts, making sure that their like whole company, their whole company like paradigm is something that's going to be a successful one, and keeping those models intact, it's cutting, you know, a lot of just like, you know, what can we do? What, you know, trim, you know, fat trimming, and essentially what you find everywhere is just the marginalization of the employees, whether they like it or not, and whether if the employer wants to or not, everybody's trying to maintain these particular like profit like margins, you know, for the continued success. And there's a lot of externalities like to it, and there's a lot of different factors too that come into play that aren't, you know, that are very complicated, such as the price of barrels of crude and so forth. So I don't know, is it whether or not people are happy by it? I mean, people just accept it. Folks, it's, you know, people are happy to have a job, and you are told as much if there's any second feelings about the place of work on that matter. So,
do you think though that the final question, Jim? Do you think that if your place and company was unionized, would it be a better place? Or would you feel more secure, or would it just? What do you think? Would it make a difference?
That's a complicated one. The systems of mediation, how mediation is appointed, is really at this juncture, it's very difficult. I mean, there's been a lot of the teeth have been taken out. Like, in a sense, it's not the same. There's a lot of other like factors that have essentially, I think, softened up the influence like of arbitration to the point where it's there for show when it does exist, but it's shadow really these the mediation is a facade if it does exist, and it does essentially say yes, you know, we are keeping things together with our workers, but companies have set up a lot of strict guidelines by which the union folks like have to follow. So it's not even, it's pretty much they're like a third party that's somehow like, you know, just like somewhere keeps things like at a certain constant, but it's not a very, it doesn't seem to be the most effective tools for any kind of dialogue. I mean, in some cases, I strongly feel that it could turn around. At this juncture, it currently stands as a very impotent tool to provide a human face or a human sense of togetherness or some kind of siblinghood that you would have like with your fellow workers. But as the company, the corporation, in the private or public sector, essentially stands alone as they're an entity, they're one, they're a person, they're an individ- it's a it's an individual. So we essentially serve a demagogue that is somehow like, you know, the face is the company name is a product, and you're, so everything is product driven. Everything is the individual that is the company. And then, you know, and that if anything, even though you're given like really little, you know, the best thing you got is a human resources department, which has, you know, more so than ever sort of served as the buffer zone where these things that would normally like be dealt by the arbitration then are completely like, you know, they're broadsided by these appointed departments that deal with the needs of the employees, but on an incredibly on the company's own terms. There's nothing that's done outside of, or that would that would take, you know, any decision like out of the company's hands. Or
so you don't have a backup. So if there were a union where you worked, the union rep or shop steward would, if there were a dispute between the employee and the management, that the shop steward would accompany you to a meeting and, in effect, be your advocate or protect you from being abused by the management. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in the case like if there were, in this case, so there was there was arbitration, but there's not everything is handled between. Everything, you know, everything nowadays is between supervisor to the supervisor to the peon, and then there's a head guy, there's a representative head guy, there's a bigger guy that oversees like that, like, you know, cluster of other like stores and so forth, and then so on. It's the you know, it's like the Russian doll like paradigm.
So now, if you had a son, I'm assuming you don't, and he was asking you, Dad, what does my future look like? Would my life standard of living be better than yours or your grandfather's? What would you tell your son if you had one and was asking you that question today? Would his life be better? Like, that's been the thing of America, of everybody who's come to America, immigrants or even people who were born here, that the fathers and the families want their children to have a better life and better opportunities and more opportunities than they had. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, ideally, yes. You want that. The only thing I was ever told was essentially you build it yourself building blocks is a reason. I mean, there's a reason why you're given like building blocks in the development, the developmental stages of growing up. You're taught to manufacture and manifest your own destiny.
So you got to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. Is that what you're saying?
In a sense, there's no. You got to be a self-made person. You can't rely. I think on anything, social security or I don't know. I mean, benefits are great when you can get them, where you can get them, and gosh, for as long as they're getting good, but
are available.
Yeah, nothing is a sure thing, and you understand that, and that's, in a sense, that's the good news, and I think that's.
So you got to be a survivor. Would you say that's accurate?
Completely, very much so. Dealing with Darwinian logic, of course. You've got to make your own homestead, your own heaven, your own hell, your own place.
Some people are making it hell for other people. Well, Jim, any final comments or observations since you're in an unusual situation, considering your family history and everything?
I think the future is still unwritten, and there's a great chance for all kinds of good things. I feel very.
You're optimistic.
Very much so.
Okay.
What we're up against, I feel that we the people still have the power to make a world that's more tolerant and understanding, and that that better. I don't know that we don't all have to agree. And that's the good news. And if we can get to that point, and then we can
dialogue. I think, is that fair to say, to end everything? Okay, Jim, it's great talking to you, and of course I see you from time to time, and you looked content in a sense, but it's good that you're thinking about these issues or have thought about them, and we appreciate you for being on the program, and so I'll probably see you next weekend. Let's hope this comes out. I'll edit this last comment out.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Okay, take care, Jim, and I'll let you know how it came out.
Yeah, wonderful.
Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
You as well.
And thanks for being on the program.
Anytime.
Bye.
Okay, that was descendant of one of the great American labor leaders. We're not going to give his name because I don't want to cause him any problems, just in case. Somebody who labored in the vineyards of the Lord in Africa, he died today, the great Albert Schweitzer. He was a Lutheran, I believe. Also famous family, Nicole Harriot Schweitzer, who was a pianist. She's part of that family. But Dr. Albert Schweitzer, it's not well known that he was a great organist, a great musician. And here is Ein Feste Burge, Mighty Fortress is Our God, which a lot of the early Union people believed in God and believed that the Lord would help them achieve their goals that justified the work that they were doing to raise people up out off their knees and on their feet so they could stand and face their employers and say, treat us fairly, we give you a fair day's work, you give us a fair day's salary. But Albert Schweitzer volunteered his time in Africa, unlike a lot of these so-called bogus nonprofits or what we call NGOs or non-government organizations. And Schweitzer died on this day, and I think this is a fitting tribute to him. Ein Feste Burge, he's accompanied by Lotte Lenya, another great German opera sopranos. Dr. Schweitzer playing Bach?
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bench.
Where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Break your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Vanyashinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23. What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average.
Friday at 4 p.m. Hopefully there won't be any problems. I had some, still dealing with some medical issues, injured my back. We will continue with our commemoration of the American Labor Movement, and also we'll replay the Huey Long Share the Wealth, which I think he was saying something that was very relevant during the Depression. Although the way he said it raises some question, and of course Louisiana has been there's a claim. There's some political fiction to this. Louisiana is the most corrupt state. They haven't looked at California, and in particular San Francisco. So we'll be back at 4 p.m. on Friday, Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We have an update on the $1.50 fare to Los Angeles from Northern California. And we will have some new things. We're going to be doing the worst of San Francisco. You hear about the best of San Francisco. There are going to be tips that will alert you if you're coming to visit, coming to check the city out. And if you're coming to live here. And so there's some things that you should know, and we'll help you learn them. It's Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.